This is Amateur Logic, episode 196, for August 23rd, 2024. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Fun, sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of ICOM's go-to portables or remote rigs. Greetings and welcome to another episode of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back with you. Email is not here tonight. And according to Glenn here, and we already knew it, Email joined the ranks of pawpaw.
Ranks of what?
Pawpaw.
Oh, yeah.
Or Pipe.
Our grandfather. So congratulations, Email and crew. We have a fun show lined up tonight. Huntsville Hamfest. I went last week. Email wasn't there. Tommy wasn't there. Did see a few friends there, though. Chip didn't make it. But nevertheless, we had a good time. Wayne and I drove over there and shot a little video here we'll be looking at shortly. First, let's see what's been going on. Tommy, what's been going on over there?
Well, not a lot. I missed the Hamfest, like you just said. I intended on going, and I was ready right up to the day before, and we got a free case of COVID around here at the house, so I decided not to go spread it around. So been here kind of nursing that. Other than that, I hadn't done a lot. It may as well have been the slacker.
Yeah. Mike, what's been going on with you?
I don't know where the summer's gone. I can't believe it's almost the end of August already, and I had 1 week off a couple of weeks ago, and I don't know, the whole summer, the whole rest of the summer's a blur. I spent most of that doing work. Of course, I think I've mentioned it before, it's our busy time at work. So, but this summer we had a bigger numbers to contend with, and it's just been a blur.
Yeah, it's... It's kind of been blurry down here, but that's just me. It has been hot. It's been dry.
Yeah, you keep the humidity down there. Like, don't send any more up here.
Oh.
I've run my AC longer than I ever have in the past year.
Yeah, I've been running it a lot here, but we got a little break last week, maybe for one day, something like that. Not much.
Yeah, it was down in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had 3 days, I think. Well, it's back to, in the 80s again. But prior to that, we had like nights that we'd get down to like really low 60s. We had about 3 days of that where we were able to actually open the windows.
No, we haven't had anything like that happen around here in months. Probably be another couple of months before it does, why things are looking. Well, let's get on into the show here. First up, Tommy, you have an actual email tonight. Is that correct?
I have a real email. Not an email. We're short on email tonight, but I do have an email. Episode 162, where I built the LifePoe battery pack, says it's from our friend Ray, AI2S. Hi, Tommy. I built the LifePoe 4 battery pack from episode 162, but I haven't used it except for fun at my QTH. I recently used the load tester to check battery capacity. The batteries are not well balanced. I'm now using the best 4 of 8 batteries for a 25-amp pack. I had good fun building the design and learned a lot from the experience. Notice that you did not use the battery pack during field day. I wonder if you may have also had the same experience I have. Newer packs may have improved internal BMS. Your thoughts would be appreciated. But we did use the battery pack. George used it with two rigs, as a matter of fact. It worked really well all the way up through, I guess, mid-Sunday morning. The second morning, I guess, it died, right? Something like that. But anyway, it worked really well. As far as balancing it, I have my BMS set to balance when it's not charging, and I've found that if I charge at a slower rate it tends to equalize out a little bit better. So I'm not sure what rate you're charging your battery at, but if I dump 10 amps in it, it doesn't do as well as I do if I do it at 4 or 5 and just let it take a little bit longer to charge. But then if I had to do it all over again, I probably wouldn't make two cells in parallel to double – actually, yeah, in parallel to double the capacity, I would probably just get four 100-amp cells and paid a little bit extra money for it. But if your cells are mismatched, you can have the problem that you're saying. Anyway, I had emailed him already about this, so hopefully get that taken care of. So, anyway, appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, Tommy didn't use the battery because I did, and I got all the good out of it, too.
Yeah, it worked well.
It was that second rig I was running that was doing FT8 was just sitting there hammering on it constantly. So it held up good.
Yeah.
Considering it was transmitting most of the time.
I did notice the problem when I was charging it, though, that it would get a little bit out of balance when it was charging if I did it too fast. So, like I said, I backed off on it, and it charged fine.
Does your BMS show you that? Or you have to measure it?
Yeah, it shows.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you showed the picture I sent you when I was reading the email.
I did.
Wasn't looking at the screen. Yeah, that's actually the BMS. And if you look at the bottom, the 4, 3.598, 6.13, that's the 4 virtual 4 cells there in the balance of them.
So that's 4 pairs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and the voltage difference is circled right there.
Okay. Cool. One day I'm going to get a battery. My biggest lead acid battery just bit the dust here recently, and it didn't have much hours on it, but it was getting older. I almost bought one this past weekend. I hadn't yet, but.
Yeah, I thought you were going to when you sent me that that thing about it. I figured you were going to get one. That's why I asked what you bought at the Hamfest.
Yeah, I didn't. I came this close. But
if I'd have been there to twist your arm, you'd have had it.
It could have happened, because when I was comparing prices with some of the others there, it was a better price. Mm-hmm. Anyway, speaking of that, our friends from Gigaparts were there again this year. Of course, you know, Huntsville's their home base there. And, wow, there was something new going on there I did not know about. I knew they got the new big building. I haven't been there. Wayne and I didn't make it over in enough time to go by on Friday. But maybe one day soon I'll get back over there and get a look at it.
When you say the new building, George, are you talking about the Von Braun Center? Or
no, I'm talking about Gigaparts.
No, the Gigaparts building. They moved to a big building. It used to be a Home Depot, I think. Yeah, it's huge. Very nice.
Yeah. They've also got a new line of products out. And that's what I wanted to look at. But when I walked in their booth there the first day, I saw several people I knew, but one in particular that I've never seen at Gigaparts before. Stephen Pan. Do you remember Stephen Pan?
Yeah.
Used to be like one of the head honchos at MFJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy that was doing all the technical stuff in the background and keeping everything running. And I assume he was feeding the pick and place machines and all of that, giving them the data. I don't know that, but he did a lot of the underlying work like that. Well, he retired a few years ago. I believe he moved to Huntsville, and he got tired of being retired, so he hooked up with Gigaparts, and they got a new line of products here. I saw him on Saturday, and it was real busy, so I told him I would come back later. And I was thinking, well, Sunday would be the best day. But he wasn't there. This is what happened. It wouldn't be Huntsville without a stop by the Gigaparts booth to see what's going on. I had visited yesterday with Stephen Penn, who I've known for a number of years. worked with MFJ and did a lot of stuff that you would wonder who did it. It was him. He is now with Gigaparts. And I came back today and I asked, is Stephen Penn here? No, we don't have a Stephen Penn today, but we do have a Stephen Molo, KI4KWR. Steve, good to see you.
Good to see you guys. Welcome to Gigaparts and 2024 Huntsville Hamfest.
Yeah, I wish I could have made it over in time on Friday to come by the new store. I would like to see it. Tommy's been there. I've got to make it by, though, one day. I went to the old one, but he tells me it's something.
It is huge. If you haven't been there, 50,000 square feet. It is not just amateur radio. We have 3D printing, makers, photography, astronomy, games, everyday carry. There's much more. And, of course, computers, which was, you know, one of the base things of when Gigaparts started over 25 years ago.
And you've got a new line here. This is basically what I wanted to talk about. Intellitron. Tell me a little bit about Intellitron. It's brand new to Gigaparts.
It is brand new. So about a year and a half ago, we thought there is a demand in the market for these products that we are now offering. So between Stephen Pan and myself and a few others, we started reaching out to the companies to get these products. He did a lot of the legwork getting the products here, and then the rest of us was the marketing, writing the manuals, proper wording, and just giving something to the amateur radio enthusiasts. What did they need? And here we are with all these products. And we're not stopping. We have a lot more on the way. This is just the little, you know, the beginning. So this is not just, okay, this is what we're going to have. There is a lot more on the horizon with Intellitron and product line.
Yeah, just glancing here, I see you've got the nice fiberglass poles with the tripods. You've got watt meters. You've got power supplies, antenna switches, clocks, mobile antennas. Where is it going?
Well, we've got the antennas covered. Uh-huh. We've got your power supplies. Coax, we'll leave that to the competitors. That one's a hard animal. Clocks. I debuted the clocks at Orlando this year, and I sold out Saturday afternoon of what I brought at clocks. We've had to bring in additional supply here at Huntsville. So we hit that mark. What is next on the horizon? I can't give everything out, but I would say stay tuned for power distribution. Mast and tripods. What you see here is just a little bit. We've got more on the way now. Probably by October, we'll have a lot more of the mast and tripods. Tuners, I would love to have tuners. It's something in the works. Everybody has been telling us amplifiers. That would be a dream. I don't know if we're going to be able to hit that. That's an animal that's going to be very hard to achieve, but never say never is what I've been telling everybody.
And I didn't mention the LiPo batteries over here.
Yes, the LiPo batteries, it originally started out as PO4 power, and it came to the drawing board of it's time to reorder. Why are we not just integrated with Intellitron and just keep growing the Intellitron brand? People can get a 50-amp-hour battery, and that'll get them out and operating for much longer than a smaller 6-amp-hour. We do offer 12-amp and 24-amp-hour options, but everybody asks for a 50-amp-hour, and let's bring it to the show, and here we are, and they're selling.
I've had my eye on them. I've been thinking about pulling the trigger real hard.
And the good thing about, you know, as we look over at that PO4 power, is the weight. You know, a lot of us were carrying these deep cycle, you know, boat batteries, and that battery, I don't know the exact weight, but when an older gentleman, he can't lift up heavy items, is picking it up from his power chair here at the show and going, I can use this in my shack. Charging with a lead acid versus a lithium iron phosphate battery is different, but they understand that and they go, okay, I can't use this charger. I have to use this. and it'll last longer, and it's much lighter. So if you want to go out and go camping or take it to a park or a special event, it'll work a lot better than that heavy 100-pound lead-acid battery.
It's pretty much a no-brainer anymore. Why would you want to carry a marine lead-acid battery? Just doesn't make sense. You're not, well, maybe a few dollars cheaper, but you're going to spend that at the chiropractor or, you know, or wherever.
And hurt yourself, and we don't want to hurt ourselves in this hobby.
What's the warranty on these batteries?
The batteries and everything Intellitron, unless not specified on the packaging or on the manual, is 2 years. No questions asked. You know, if you do have something wrong, we're going to ask you what is wrong so that when we do get it back, we can test and verify. Not that we don't believe you, but we want to make sure that you get a quality product and that you're satisfied. And it's, you know, everything with Intellitron is economically priced.
Steve, thanks for talking to me and tell me a little bit about Intellitron, what's going on with Giga Parts here. Great to see you, and I hope we'll run into you at Dayton if I don't make it back over to Huntsville and come by the big store here.
Thank you for stopping by, and, you know, like I said earlier, Intellitron is growing, and hope to see you in Dayton.
All right. 7-3.
7-3, thank you.
I'm excited.
Those were some really nice-looking clocks there. I know that you saw a little flicker there on the screen. That was the frame rate of the camera doing that. In mm-hmm. real life, they don't do that. Really,
I like the little Nixie tube one.
Yeah, I want to get one of those Nixie tube clocks. They're cool.
Yeah, they're sharp.
When I was at the store, they had a pretty nice selection of Intellitron stuff. I actually bought a speaker, an Intellitron speaker, when I was there. And they said they were getting more things in. So I imagine they're going to probably kind of build out that line and probably some of the stuff where Martin, you know, is shutting down stuff, probably fill in the gap on a lot of that stuff, which is great.
Yeah, it is. I picked up something while I was there in their booth. Now, I didn't buy a whole lot this year. We'll look at it here in a little bit, but this one thing I bought here, Tommy, I was thinking you and I would open it, but since you're operating remote tonight, I'll just have to open it by myself.
Okay.
I think I can do it. They were selling...
Oh, I saw those.
No
there.
Way. Is that like a surprise pack?
A mystery box. And they had several different ones in different price ranges. This one is the Tech Enthusiast Option 2. Mystery box. This is just a $20 version. You can hear there's something in there. It's not a cat.
Yeah, you don't want to let the cat out of the box.
It seems like they had another range there that was called Outdoors or something similar to that. They had one that was called EDC.
Everyday Carry.
Yeah. When I heard that, I said, wait a minute. They selling guns there now? No, I don't think so. But, everyday carry, that's just like stuff you keep in your pocket, huh?
Yeah, knives, flashlights, usually some kind of utility stuff.
Okay. Well, let's see what's in this box right here. I have no idea. I haven't opened it yet.
Wow, that's almost the same dimension of the ones that Radio Shack used to carry.
Well, it is, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be the same thing here. It doesn't feel as heavy as a Radio Shack, and it doesn't rattle like it's as many parts as was in a Radio Shack one. But what is that? Oh, there's several
things
in
here. It's not Aunt Bethany's Jell-O mold?
No, it's not a Jell-O mold.
What is that, a USB stick?
Yeah. This is a 64 gigabyte thumb drive.
It's too bad if Bill's not here. He'd be calculating with his like fake cash register.
And it looks like it's a USB 3. Looks like it's blue up in there. So, yeah, that'll be handy.
Yep.
It's what is that? I don't know. There's a little screw here on the side. Okay. You can unscrew it, and that I don't know what that. Oh, you pull it out. Okay. And that's how you hook it on something.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Nice. This is a nondescript white box. Oh, wow. This could come in handy right here.
We could have used a pair of those a few months ago before you upgraded to AC.
Yeah. Well, it has batteries in it. But it's not doing anything.
Pull out that little cardboard tab. They put you that in there for this shipping.
What in the world would there be a cardboard tab in there for?
Oh.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to have to look in here now and figure out how you hack this thing and put your own message in there.
That's cool. Persistence of vision.
Yeah.
I had no idea. That was...
Me neither.
That's pretty amazing.
We could have used these in here back before I had the new air conditioner, Tommy.
Yes, well, I saved them a while ago. Could have used a pair of them.
Cool. Well, that's very neat. Cool.
I don't think I've ever seen like a little portable fan with the POV built in like that before. That's really neat.
Yeah. Let's see what else is in there. Wow.
Oh, wow.
A 7200 milliampere hour mini power bank. Up to
you
three
got your
times.
$20 worth out of that for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Hang on. Let's see if Emil approves. Yeah, Emil approves. Yeah, I would say you got $20 worth.
I think so, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Nice.
And of course, now everybody's going to order based on what you got in your box. They'll get theirs, and it'll be a box of resistors or something.
Yeah, it won't be. They're all different, but
supposedly.
Okay. Little switch there. I guess you hit that to check the charge, and this one's fully charged. It's got a standard old USB on it. It's got a USB-C and a micro USB. I believe that's what that one is.
Well, cool. I'm a believer you can't have too many of those either, man. I have a couple of big ones, but I have little ones I use from time to time, too, to power my camera, various things.
So, looking over it here.
I'd say you have a window there, George.
I would say that's at least $20 worth. Take the knife out.
In fact, for that POV fan, I'd probably pay $20 just for that.
Yeah.
The novelty factor is well worth that.
And probably the battery and the USB stick would be $20 worth alone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the battery. Actually, yeah. I like the USB stick, too, but the battery's a nice size.
It's a good-feeling battery. It's got some heft to it.
It's about the size of a smaller cell phone.
Yes. It's a little bigger than the original iPhone. That's what you get for $20. That's what I got for $20 in the Tech Enthusiast Option 2 box.
Mileage may vary.
Yeah.
You got me curious about the what's in the one box.
Yeah, you got me thinking maybe I should have got the $50 option or one of the more expensive options because they say it's going to be at least what the value of the package is in there, in items.
You never know. There could have been a Tesla Cybertruck in that $50 one.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have rattled the same as that box did. But, okay. Nice. Not bad. I feel like that was a good $20.
Yeah, I think so.
There was also... Well, I will say someone else sort of knew him, But we had not really had a chance to speak a lot. We did. Jerry and I had a good conversation. This is just a small part of it. He was there with the Howl Ham Radio booth this year. He worked with Bob for a lot of years. Real interesting guy. I think it was probably the right guy to take over sales manager position there. So let's meet Jerry Lynch. Well, I'm here at Huntsville Ham Fest with Jerry Lynch from Howl. Is it Howl Ham Radio? Is that the official name now?
Yeah, we've been, you know, Howl Sound. We've been Howl Communications, but we've tried to pare it down to where it was Howl Ham Radio, so our ham customers knew it's Howl Ham Radio.
Okay, you know, we really miss Bob. It's still sinking in.
Yeah, it's still kind of fresh, you know, and in the sense, you know, there's times I'll pull up an email or a voicemail and just know that he's there, you know. But yeah, we're carrying on without him as he would wanted us to do. And we're still bringing high-quality products to the market, everything compatible with the major brands, Kenwood, Icom, Yaesu. We're even seeing some Zygu brands entering the market, Radio Oddity. So there's a lot of new brands that we haven't seen in the past 10, 15 years. So we're trying to adapt to those brands as well, as we've done for Kenwood and Icom and Yaesu.
So how many years have you been with Howl?
Well, this year marks 24. I started in May of 2000, right after, well, actually, I guess it could have been June, because Bob said, hey, I want you to start as soon as possible, but we got this huge amateur radio convention in Dayton, Ohio, and once we get everything back in the shop, then it'd be a good time for you to come in. I said, okay. So I did that, and currently in the sales manager position, I've been doing that for the past 6-7 years. Prior to that, I was also a production manager, so I would build as well as making sure everything was built the way it needed to be. And then before that, I started in early 2000 in the home entertainment department. So I was eating, breathing, sleeping, home audio, surround sound, and I said, I need to work somewhere that is the epicenter of audio. And it was Howl Sound. So been there ever since.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, it's bound to be a fantastic place to work. And if you like audio.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, there was no better place. And just hearing the stories, I mean, especially in the early days. And, you know, Peter Frampton might call on the phone and, oh, is Bob there? And I'm like, who? Hold on. You know, and I go into Bob's office and I go, some guy from London's calling. Oh, is it Peter? I go, I think so, yeah, Peter Frampton, you know. And I knew who he was, but it's just one of those things you don't really expect those stars to be calling in, and you just pick the phone up and they ask for Bob. So, yeah, whether it's Joe Walsh or Frampton, Charlie Daniels, all of the people that he's worked with all these years. So I've developed relationships with them as well. And a lot of times Bob and I would travel together, you know, and in his later years we were more concerned of driving and vision and everything. So I kind of took that role on, and now that he isn't here, I've kind of stepped into that position. So it's been a nice transition for me.
Well, you know, you got good products. That's half the battle right there, or at least half of it. This PR22 is one of my all-time favorite microphones. Now, I'm a musician. I worked for radio stations and engineering for decades and done a lot of recording. But the way this mic sounds,
it's
and
beautiful.
If I get over here, you know, as Bob would say.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
and that's true.
Projection. And you know, the thing that's so nice with microphones, I mean, yes, everyone has a certain preference of microphones, but when people are not aware of using a good quality microphone, you know, the brands that people use, it's just kind of a situation where they don't think about it. Or they see who else is using it. Oh, that's what I'm going to use. So we really respect our artists, front of house engineers, monitor engineers, for going out and looking for the best that's in the market. And we feel that we've got that product, whether it's a guitar, drums, bass, vocals. I mean, we know how music should sound. We have a lot of musicians. I'm a drummer. Ash is a guitarist. We've got a bass player, another guitarist in production. So we've got a lot of music in the central of Heil Sound. And you have to, in order to understand your customer and bring to market a product that they want to buy.
Okay. So you're a drummer? I'm a drummer.
Yeah, left-handed drummer. I'm a left-handed drummer. So.
Oh, left-handed. Do you set up left-handed?
I do.
I couldn't play your set then.
No, not at all.
You've carried on the full line of Heil microphones and other products. I see you've still got the parametric EQ system out there. Is that a good seller?
Yeah, it is. A lot of our customers call it the PRAS, just as the acronym. But it has been, you know, and a lot of hams as we age, you start to lose hearing, or maybe your job and your career that you chose, your hearing's deficient. You know, you've got a lot of foundry workers, you've got a lot of engineers, you've got a lot of, you know, loud applications where that can damage your hearing. So you want to be able to adjust the settings. And a lot of times it's much easier to do it on the fly with a knob than menu diving. Yes. And forgetting to save your menu after you've exited. So you could have 15, 20 minutes setting up a radio, and you hit the wrong button, and it's all for none. So with this, it doesn't limit you on what you can make your your receive audio sound like. And we've got, you know, the mid-range parametric EQ, which is extremely important for amateur radio. We've always integrated a 2.4 to 2.5 boost in the frequency response because Bob was so adamant about the difference between P's and T's and S's and C's. So that mid-range and the way that our ears are designed, it's noticeable. So we have bass and treble as well, but you're really going to see the biggest improvement through that mid-range adjustment.
Sure, you never heard the word articulation.
No. I mean, it was, you know, what in my early days, I had my, not even an office, I just had like a countertop sitting out, and Bob was down the hall, and I would just sit on the step and listen. And, yeah, it was, you know, 20, 30 times a day of hearing that articulation and things being intelligible.
Yes.
Because sometimes, you know, we're just dealing with rag chew and it's fun. But there are serious times where it's a matter of life.
Yeah.
And if you don't hear things correctly, that's a problem.
So what would you say is the most popular among microphones now, not headsets? I'll ask you that in a moment.
Well, our microphones, the Gold Elite is one of our more popular models because it offers two elements. So in the days past, we had an HC4 element, which was a contest element. But it was Willie Nelson. I mean, it was just punchy and breaking those pileups. For rag chew, it was terrible. So a lot of people like that, again, because they can flip the switch. Now you have a completely different response from one microphone to the other. And then you flip back, and you're back in rag chew. So that's a very good one, but I probably would say the 781, PR781, because it does work with some of the ICOM radios. It works with all Kenwood, all Yaesu, Flex, Elecraft. So, I mean, that's probably one of our more popular microphones for the amateur line.
Well, let's switch gears to headsets.
Okay. All right.
You've got, how many different, I see right here in front of me, five different models.
Yes.
But that's not all of them, is it?
No, it's not. A lot of what we have shown currently is what's in production. We are in the process of updating our BM-17. Originally, when Bob released that, it was kind of in an emergency ECOM yellowish orange. We've been getting feedback from customers saying, you know, it's a little polarizing for me. If it was in black, I probably would buy it. So our next production run, which should be shipping in the next 30 to 60 days, will have the dual side finished in black. The single ear will still be in that caution yellow, but a lot of our Parks on the Air customers are telling us, hey, it's perfect for this, so don't change anything. So, you know, we listen to our customers as we do our artists, and that's usually what determines our product. Bob had wanted an Ultimate DX contest headset. He worked a lot with Tim Duffy, and Tim had said, you know, Bob, these are the requirements that we need. So this is the result. It's a Pro 7. It is a military spec. It's, you know, almost kind of a aviation-type headset. because of the noise levels. Certainly they're not the same as what you would have in an airline, but when you got a room full of people calling, it gets loud. So the isolation that that Pro 7 offers really does a good job.
This product right here is neat.
Yeah.
I have never clicked one. I had to see what it feels like. It's satisfying.
It is. And you know, the thing, every time I look at it and I use it, it always brings a smile to my face, because when I was a child, I had a big RC track in the basement. And when I put that in my hand, it just brings me back to when I was 10. So sometimes if I need a little, you know, boost in the afternoon, yeah, I'll go out into production and just push the button a couple times. And but, yeah, it's a really nice ergonomical trigger. You can use it forwards or backwards depending upon your application. So, yeah, that's one option of a PTT device we have, as well as the FS3 foot switch. So on this one, it's the older purple version, but now that we've kind of did a rebrand of everything being blue, this pad is now blue. But same good quality, single channel foot switch. You could either use another one of these to key a radio to relay before transmit. This one retails for $35, as does the hand switch. And then lastly, the CB1 PTT base is a base that has push-to-talk in it.
Jerry, I appreciate you taking time out to talk with us.
Well, thank you, George. I appreciate it. It's always great to see old friends and new friends at these shows, and we're always looking forward to answering questions for our customers, so we appreciate you being here as well.
Well, thanks. And I would say anyone considering a Heil product, you know, used to be you would line up here at the booth and you'd wait for Bob.
Oh, yes.
And Bob would not leave for pretty much the whole show. He just stood right there and the line just kept.
Absolutely.
I don't know how he did it.
We would, you know, Sarah or I would run and get him in a hot dog or something, yeah, just to keep him. He's like, I don't need to leave. Yeah. I need to get these answers. Questions answered for people. So, yeah, and you know, of days of past, I mean, we would bring the kitchen sink and have a 40-foot booth. And, you know, at that time, it was great. But now we've got, you know, great dealers that support us with product, and we're here to showcase. So it's been a good transition for us.
So if somebody had a question about a particular microphone combination and what should I use with this radio, what kind of adapter would I need, who would they call?
Well, you could certainly call us at our number, 618-257-3000. If you push 1 for service, you would get Donna. If you push 2 for sales, you would get me. But I also answer all the info emails that we get. So I try to get those answered within 24 hours of receiving them. So I'm pretty firm on getting these replied to. But we also have a adapter selector chart on our website. So what that will allow the customer to do is they can enter their brand and radio of model, and then they can decide, well, I'm looking for a microphone. And then it will give them all of the options that are compatible for the radio, and it won't show the ones that are not compatible. So if a customer says, well, I got a Kenwood, and iCom Radio's microphone isn't going to show up. So it's only going to give them what's compatible. But yeah, usually doing that or sending me an email, calling me, we get it resolved, and then we can make for sure they have what they need.
All right. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, George.
I've seen Jerry.
I remember seeing him at the Ham Fest before.
I do too, and we just never really stopped and chatted, but we went on for about an hour there. So that's like.
Yeah, Bob made a good choice when he passed the baton on, that's for sure.
Yeah. Jerry's a talker, and he knows the product line, too, and a lot of the stories. We just had a great time visiting there, so really good to see him. I've got one more video coming up here in just a few minutes from another guy that some of you might know. But first, let's take a break right here. Get a message from iCom, and we'll be right back. Fun, sun, and QSO. Wherever you go, keep the fun going with one of iCom's go-to portables or remote rigs. The IC705 and IC7300 radios both feature a large touchscreen with real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display for intuitive functions and setting operation. So kick back, enjoy the breeze, and make those QSOs with ease. The IC705 portable radio provides base station features and performance in the palm of your hand. From HF to 50, 144, or 440 megahertz, enjoy a wide variety of bands in the D-Star DV, single sideband, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM modes. This handheld also includes an RF direct sampling system, wireless LAN and Bluetooth connectivity, an internal GPS receiver, and more. The IC7300 is an industry first to use an RF direct sampling system and an entry-level HF radio. This high-performance radio includes an audio scope function, IP+, class-leading RMDR and phase noise characteristics, 15 discrete bandpass filters, and a built-in automatic antenna tuner. This compact and innovative radio will far exceed your expectations. Bring the fun wherever you are by going remote. The optional RSBA1 remote control software allows you to operate your ICOM from a portable PC. For those of you with an IC7300, head on over to ICOMAmerica.com and download the latest firmware to get ICOM's new digital pre-distortion capabilities. This technology corrects nonlinear distortion at the final amplifier stage by applying inverse distortion at the pre-distortion section in the FPGA unit in advance. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur today. For the love of ham radio. And thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic. I saw Ray there. We didn't shoot any video. We talked about it. But by the time it got to the end of the day each day, we were kind of wore out. So we didn't really shoot anything. But perhaps we'll be checking in with him soon, see what else new they've got going on there.
Yeah. You know, while we're on the Hamfest topic, you never did tell me what you got from the Hamfest.
Oh.
What'd you buy other than the $20 box?
Well, the $20 box, yeah, I bought that. There's a couple other things I got. Do you remember seeing wired communications at Huntsville and at Hamvention?
It's not ringing the bell, but I probably would if I saw the sign.
I showed you their card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the guy who had all the LEDs, all the different kinds of chargers, different form factors of LEDs, all the little connectors and phone chargers, cables and such, I always stop by there and pick up a handful of stuff. And so I did this year as well. The biggest thing I bought from him, I think I paid $15 for this. I've got some of these lights. You know, these LED lights that run off like three AAAs, but I didn't have a rechargeable one. And this one's a little bit brighter right here. It's got, what is that, 18-watt lithium ion battery? You remember the number?
18650?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got one of those in there. Plus, it's got a little cartridge where you could put three AAAs in there and run it off of that. If you ran this
cool.
Now. So it's rechargeable, and it's pretty bright, too.
Yeah, I'll say.
Much, much brighter than the other lights I got around here.
Yeah. I've got one similar to that that's rechargeable, too. Yeah. I use it a lot. It's good light.
Has it got an SOS mode?
Or
is that you clicking?
I don't think that said SOS. I didn't. Let's see. No, that's just a flicker. No, it is SOS.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. Nice.
I think that's pretty much mandatory that they put those on everything now.
Yeah.
It's not mandatory, but it just happens.
Anyway, nice light. It's got a big LED in there. You probably can't see that.
Yeah.
It's huge.
We can see it.
The others I had were nice, but... you know, it's good to have a rechargeable one and one with a little more strength.
Yeah,
to
those
it.
Things, the one with the three little AAA batteries, it burns through those batteries if you use it much.
Yeah, I've put those EverReady lithium batteries in mine, and they last pretty good.
Yeah.
But having rechargeable ones better. I bought another one of these. You know, I've bought these before, these little voltage and amperage.
Voltage and current.
Yeah, those are handy. Yeah.
This one, I don't remember the range on it. Typical.
Probably 50 volts.
Probably goes that high, and maybe 5 amps, I think.
You can test it out and find out.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. We'll let you know.
Keep giving her until the smoke comes out.
There you go.
Then anyway, I can sell you a can of ReSmoke.
I've got a project I'm working on, and I needed one of these, so I picked that up. I don't remember what I paid for it. It wasn't much.
Would approve then.
I wanted some of these. You know, I didn't have any.
All the little SMA jumper cables?
Yeah. And, you know, this is the good cable.
Yeah. I bought some of those when I had that 905 over here to hook the antennas up.
Well, I wanted one to hook up my RSP Duo with to my antenna switch. And something a little more flexible than what I had. So I bought a pair of those. I don't remember what they were. They weren't much, though.
They're handy to have.
I also needed an adapter because my antenna switch had SO 239s on it, so I bought an adapter to a PL259. I got a couple of different ones, the BNC to the
SMA. Those are handy.
Yeah, these look a little cheap here, but
they do the job. I mean, temporary use, that's all you need.
And I got the opposite sex as well. And I got a little barrel. You know, I don't have a lot of SMA adapters, so I'm a big fan of adapters, so I bought several there.
That'll be handy for all the new HTs come with the, some come with the regular polarity SMA and some of the reverse polarity SMA, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll find those adapters handy for that.
Yeah. And if not, I just know that I got it. If
that's
nothing
right.
else, just peace of mind, you know.
That's another thing, you can't have too many of adapters.
Yeah,
that's right.
I've got
because somebody will borrow them from you and they will forget to give them back to you.
I don't.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
I don't know how many adapters over here I've got. You've seen my box, Tommy. It's probably well in it. In excess of 100 different adapters. I got several of everything. I bought, I do video stuff around here, so it's always handy to have an extra couple. So I got a mini HDMI to HDMI.
Yeah, those are handy for the new Raspberry Pis.
Well, that's the...
That's the Raspberry Pi 3B, I think.
Yeah, that's the mini.
And then they went to the that's the mini, right? And
yep.
then they
yeah,
went to
that's
the
micro there.
The micro. So I bought a couple of the micros as well. I don't remember what they were. They were maybe $1 a piece, something like that. Then I like to look through all the surplus junk there, and there's a guy that has a lot of military stuff. Another thing I like to keep is crimp connectors.
Yeah,
good kind.
These are the military ones here. The way they're packaged, very very good. This is for tiny wire. I don't remember the gauge.
Yeah, I'd like to have some of those. All I ever can find are those little garbage ones they got at the auto parts store.
Yeah,
those are two hander connectors. You need two hands to crimp those things.
Exactly. I got some big ones because occasionally I need a big one. So I picked up, they were like $3 for $1, I think. So I got some of those. I got the next size down, some of these. Got a couple of those. I don't use those often, but when you want them, you need them and you can't find them. I got some a little smaller than that. All of these are really nice.
Like the bends in those.
Yes. Another one of those. And I bought some of these. These are good and heavy, too. And they're the ones just like these right here. There's two different sizes of metal in there. One piece crimps around the insulation. The other piece crimps around the strip wire. So Can't have too many of those. So I bought those as well. Now this, we'll talk about that in a minute. I didn't buy this, but look, I got two boxes here. One's got Tommy's name on it.
Hey, I know that guy.
So I'll get that over to you. But first, I want to read an email. I hadn't read an email tonight. This came from our friend Timmy, OH7T, who, we visit with him occasionally. He said, "Hi, George. We're doing well, located here at KP01UM in Poree." And I looked it up, and that's on the coastline there in Finland. It says coastline of sea. Short holiday trip. It's useful. Found myself as building whole amateur station from basics. Always do learn something. What needs to know next stop. Have fun there in Huntsville, and greetings for everyone whom we could know together. 73D to May, OH7T. Great guy. You know, always enjoy visiting with him. He's in the chat room here a lot. Not in there tonight, but he shared a little video here.
Hello, operators. This is Oscar Hotel 7 Tango Teme in Pori, in mid-coast Finland city here, beside of the city here, just 2 kilometers away, and beside of the Kokemäki River. Yeah, I just noticed that I could charge my 705 with the solar panel, which is actually a 5 volts solar panel, which is a emergency case backpack battery pack there inside. But today directly we are charging this 705 gear here. And I don't know what exactly do mean that blinking light there, but we are following the cord, and we are following the cord. There's an axe, which is not for the cut the line. It's for the metal woods, and there is a cord, and suddenly we do have a box here, and there's reading. Oh my. OH7 Teme Taika Antenna Magical Wire Antenna. And there is our antenna wire, and it's going up there on the tiny mast, and the end is another way there. So, this is Oscar Hotel 7 Tango Teme and 73.
Great to see what he's been up to.
Absolutely.
I have
nice to see the weather dog different setups too. From different parts of the world.
Yeah. The weather dog, you said?
Yeah, he had a weather dog out there, too.
Yeah, how does that work?
Well, you know, if it's raining, the dog's wet.
Yeah.
Okay.
joke never gets old.
Yeah.
It might.
So, you know, if you're out doing an event or something like that, you can send us a little video. We'd like to see what you've been up to. Always fun to share that kind of stuff. You know, we met Tomei. Well, we hadn't ever met him in person, but online a number of years ago. Because, we've been doing this. Is it going on 19 years or going on 20?
No, it's either 18 or 19. I think it's 19.
I think it is.
Well, I had a look at the episode number, and it's getting up there. Yeah. It's almost 200 now.
Yeah, and it's only one show a month, so, you know, it takes a little while. But we met Timmy a number of years ago, just, you know, through the show online, and he was just beginning to learn English at that point. And he liked, I believe he's the one who told us he liked watching the show because we talked slow, and it helped, you know, with learning English. So
yes. Yeah,
that's one of the things we're proudest of.
Yeah.
Is the slow talking.
We definitely talk slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, as I recall, too, Tomei was a little mic shy when we first met. And it's always great. I mean, He was a regular check-in on the Amateur Logic Soundcheck net, and then I think he still checks into the Logic net every once in a while. I know Tom's in the chat room. He can maybe comment on that, but yeah, it's always good to hear Tomei in there.
It is.
Yeah, super nice guy. I'd like to meet him in person one of these days.
I would too. Maybe he'll make it to Dayton one year.
Maybe.
Or maybe,
we'll make it over there one year. Yeah, who knows?
Friedrichshafen. That would be.
That would be the one to go to. He's not too far from that one.
No, he's not. I would like to go to that one. There's another one of our friends in the chat room over there. Who is that, Tom? Tommy?
Tom, WA2IVD.
Yeah. I visited with him while I was there. As a matter of fact, these boxes right here that I was just talking about, I'm not going to, we'll come back and
look at that. Give it away. Come on, open it up.
No. Well, we're going to see it anyway. When I got there, I ran into Tom pretty early on in the Hamfest.
Oh, boy, yeah.
This is something he created.
Yeah.
Brand new. A nice device. Got one for me. He also sent me one for Tommy.
Awesome.
That's one of his projects. Another one here. And he will talk more about these. It's a kit for a crowbar circuit, which could be handy.
Particularly, very nice.
If you got a rig that doesn't have that.
It's our friend Tom Apollinik, WA2IVD. You've seen him on the show here before and ran into him at Huntsville Hamfest. Tom, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you, George. It's fun to be here at Huntsville again.
You run the, we've changed the name of it. What is the name of the net now that you've been running with all the digital modes?
We switched it over to the Logic net after the Soundcheck net decided to kind of sunset there a couple years ago.
And it's been on hiatus for the summer or summer vacation. That's about to start back up, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We're going to start it up at the end of September, so be watching for it. We'll get some announcements up on the Facebook, the Amateur Logic Facebook site, and the other social media sites.
Yeah, just let us know, and we'll make sure it gets posted around everywhere. That's always a fun event. Once a month again?
Yeah, we're going to do it once a month, and we're going to do it the fourth Tuesday of the month. We were doing it the Tuesday after the live stream, but kind of got hard for people to do the scheduling, so we just said, let's just make it the fourth Tuesday of the month, which most of the time is actually after the live stream.
And that's a fun net. I don't remember how many different modes we have on there now. Was it close to eight?
It's got to be at least eight or nine. I mean, it's just about every digital mode that's out there.
Yeah, we've got our friends that have these linked together through hubs, through repeaters. Across the U.S., we have folks from all over the world check into it. So do check it out, the Logic Net, and we'll be posting when it's going to be on again. And generally before every net, a day or two, we'll post out there to let you know about that. You brought some actual projects and products with you this time around. What's that you got in your hand there?
So this is something I call the mini bar, not the mini bar that you have at the hotel, but this is an inline crowbar circuit. I decided to do a couple of sort of accessory projects, I guess, for mostly for some things that I needed, and I thought, you know, this might be useful for some other folks. So this is an inline crowbar circuit, and it's called the Minibar 1516 because you can set it to trip at either 15 volts or 16 volts. And it's just got Anderson power poles on each end. Basically, this is designed if you're connecting your expensive, you know, ham rig to an unknown power supply. Maybe you're at a field day with a club event. You don't know whose power supply or what it is. Or, as many of us hams do, and I'm sure the cheap old man can attestify, we spend $3,000 or $4,000 on an expensive HF rig, and then we go buy a $59 Amazon power supply to connect it up to. So this is just uses an automotive fuse, And if the power supply voltage goes above that trip point, the crowbar circuit will turn on and blow that fuse, so your radio isn't seeing 20 volts or 22 volts or whatever.
That's a good idea. And I could have used one of these, well, right after I got my license and I decided I would build my own regulated supply, which became unregulated and ran up to about 30 volts.
And you didn't have a crowbar circuit in it.
No, the radio was the crowbar.
Yeah, the radio was the crowbar circuit for it? Yeah, that's the way some of it works. So, and some of the, I mean, you know, the like Astron, some of the better power supplies, they have a crowbar built in. Mm-hmm. So you don't need this for those. But if you're using a surplus industrial supply or, you know, one of the $59 specials or something, if that regulator goes, you could be smoking a real expensive radio. So it's a very simple circuit. Your power comes in on the inside, and then it goes out on the output side. It's pretty well labeled. And you would just, I should have a fuse in here, which I don't. You put just a standard automotive blade fuse in here. You can put up to a 30-amp fuse in here. I've tested the board. It's actually, it's got a full plane on the top and the bottom for plus and minus. I'm calling it good for 15 amps continuous. It's probably actually good for about 20. And I rate it for a maximum fuse of 30 amps, you know, intermittent. It's plenty for a 100-watt HF rig if you're doing sideband or FT8 or any of the normal modes. If you're gonna do the ARRL bulletin and send RIDI for, you know, 30 minutes straight, that might be pushing it. But for any normal use, it'll work for any 100-watt radio. And it's just got an SCR, silicon-controlled rectifier, in here, and a couple of Zener diodes and circuitry that will make it trip when it hits 15 volts or 16 volts, depending on where you set the jumper.
It's a very cool idea. That's some high current power poles you've got on there, it looks like.
So this comes as a kit. All the surface mount components are pre-installed. All you've got to do is solder on the two power poles and the fuse holder and the little header that you put the jumper in for which voltage you want.
That might be a good first kit for someone.
It's a pretty simple kit. You do have to be a little careful and make sure you use a higher powered soldering iron, because these are heavy duty power pole connectors and the terminals on them are pretty big, so you need a good hot iron to make sure you get the solder melted quickly.
Does it come with the plexiglass case?
Yeah, it comes as a full kit that's got the screws and the spacers and the little plexiglass top and bottom, so it protects it from from something shorting out on it. I actually do have a version where I sell just the board. So if somebody wanted to build it into a power box or something else and solder wires to it, you can buy just the bare board and then use it however you want.
How much are they selling for?
The full kit is $34.99. So, and the, I got to remember, the basic kit, I believe, is $18.
That's not all you brought with you. You've got something over here that I think I could use.
Yeah, I have a couple other products that are a little bit more ICOM specific. One of them is just a breakout board that breaks out all the signals that are on the accessory connectors on the back of the ICOM. So this is an ICOM accessory breakout board, and all it does is break out all the signals that are on the accessory connector on the back of an ICOM radio. It's got more connectors than most people are going to need, because the ICOM radios, you've either got the 13-pin accessory jack if it's one of the smaller case radios, and if it's one of the bigger case radios, it'll have the 7 and 8, and I've got both of those on here, and it brings out basically all of the published signals. So you've got the 13.8 volts, the 8 volts, ALC, the band signal, the send signals, and it's got vSend and hSend, so if you've got one of the rigs that's got VHF and UHF, it's got both of the, and you can use those for push-to-talk. And in the instructions, it talks about why you might actually need both of those. And then the FSK keying, if you've got an old vintage teletype that you want to transmit with where you just need the switching. And then it's got audio in and out as well. And for the audio in and out, I've got a little audio mute circuit here, because some of the older ICOM radios the audio coming out of the accessory jack is not squelched. So if you're listening for, and that was actually the reason I designed this in the first place, is I have a 7100 as my mobile rig, and when I put the when I went to connect the audio on that radio to the stereo in my truck, I used the accessory jack audio, and I found out on 2 meters there was no squelch, and so I was just listening to static. So I built this little mute circuit, and I said, you know, as long as I'm doing that, I might as well bring all these other connectors out. So that works for the older ones, and it's also got provisions for 600-ohm transformers. You cut 4 traces on the board, and you can put 600-ohm transformers in there to totally isolate the grounds as well. So it's just a handy circuit if people are doing experimenting with their rig, or you need to bring out any of the signals. You want to do a foot switch for push-to-talk or something like that. This is just a handy device to do that.
Now, talk about how you parallel those up there.
Yeah, the other thing that this does for you is the 13-pin and the 7 and 8-pin jacks are all paralleled together. So if you have one of the smaller rigs with the 13-pin accessory connector, if you're using an ICOM accessory or any kind of ICOM-compatible accessory that requires the 7 or the 8-pin jacks, ICOM actually sells a Y cable that converts these. If you have this board, you've already got that function, because when you plug this into your radio with the 13-pin cable, the 7 and 8-pin jacks have all the signals on them in the same places that they are on the ICOM radio, so you can just plug into that. And it's also got a header here where you can bypass that mute circuit. So if you don't want the audio muted on squelch, you can put a jumper in here and bypass the mute circuit so that it's unsquelched just like it would be on the normal radio. And the newer radios like the 7300 and the 7610, some of those radios, you really don't need that mute circuit. That's more for the older radios. But this will work with just about any ICOM radio that's been made in the last 30 years, because they all standardized on those. Once they standardized on those DIN connectors, the signals have been all the same for 30 years.
You know, printed circuit boards are typically like a sort of an off-beige color, or maybe you'll see a white one or a green one, but purple. Why purple?
Well, when I was ordering these boards, the company that I ordered the boards from, you could get different colors of solder mask, and there was no extra charge, and purple was one of the choices, and this was shortly after Bob Heil had passed, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do the purple, just kind of as an homage to Bob. And so the first round of these are purple.
It looks really nice. Good layout. The bottom, it's pretty much a ground plane.
The bottom is a complete ground plane, except for one section that's got its own separate ground plane for those transformers. And if you cut the jumpers, it separates that.
And that is a good feature. I'm glad you put that on there, because if you're going to hook your computer or an external mixer or some other piece of gear to your radio that's got its own AC power, you want to eliminate those ground loops. That's the best way to do it.
One of my friends in our local club, he's got one of the prototypes, and he actually put the transformers in to solve the problem that he was getting some AC hum in his audio, and that took care of it.
So how much? What are they selling for?
So the board is $79.99. There's a HamFest special going on now for $70. I'm going to keep it going for a while. I'm not sure if it'll be still on by the time the show's on, but we'll see. Maybe it'll still be up there. And that include the board is fully assembled. This is kind of a pilot run. I want to see how much interest there might be in these. So it doesn't come with a case. It does have the STL files for a 3D printed case. They're on the website. People can just download those for free and make it. And you do have to get your own DIN cables to go with it, but they're readily available on Amazon or eBay. I couldn't find them for a price that I was comfortable. I didn't want to mark them up and just resell them. So I said, you know what, people can buy them and then not have to pay any extra markup.
Or you can just buy a connector and solder it on yourself.
You can do that, but the 13-pin, that gets a little tricky with the...
That is very tricky. I have done it. You're going to need a... You're not going to do that with your Weller gun, I'll put it that way.
Probably not with a Weller gun. You need a pretty fine tip to do those 13-pin connectors. I've done them as well.
And this is... If you were looking for it on your website, on there is...
ICOM Accessory Breakout Board. It's real easy to find on the website.
Well, that's good-looking connectors, good-looking layout. Yeah, that's great.
There's one other thing we didn't point out. I have reverse diodes for the push-to-talk and the 13.8 volt, so you can plug a relay directly into the phono jacks if you need to do a relay for an amplifier or something. The diode protection is built in.
So it'll snub it itself.
Yes.
And that's not all, folks. You've got one other option, don't you?
I have one other item. You know, all of the new radios today, they've got so many functions they can do, so many menus. And the 7300 is a pretty popular radio. I did a mouse pad for the 7300 that has every set menu function all laid out in a kind of a grid on it so you can find all of the functions, because I found for myself... Anytime I want to do something, I'm scrolling through all of the menus trying to remember, all right, what menu was that in? And this is right in front of you sitting on the desk so you can look at it and see where they are.
And that's not saying that the 7300 is tough to get through the menus of, say, a Yaesu 857D or one of those older rigs, but it's handy to have it right there where you can get to it quick, because if you're operating and you know, okay, I need to engage this function here, that's pretty handy.
Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, the menus are pretty intuitive, but sometimes if you haven't used it in a while, you got to scroll through and, well, is that in the function menu or was that in the connectors menu? And this way you can just glance real quick and see where it is.
So where can you find this stuff, Tom?
You can find it at store.a-2-z.tech, T-E-C-H.
If you take your camera and you point it at that QR code,
that'll take you right to the store.
And there's a few other things on there, little
little things. I'm hoping to build up and add some more stuff over time, but there's some things there for now.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, George. It was great to see you.
Great to see you, too, and we'll catch you on the net.
You will, and I'll catch you on the next live stream.
Tom caught me totally off guard with that. I didn't know he was working on such a project, but this I can really use.
Yeah, that's nice. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
I was thinking when I saw the purple board that I wonder if you did that intentionally as an homage to Bob, because that's definitely Heil purple.
The crowbar is a kit. He's got all the surface mount stuff mounted already, but the connectors, fuse holder, you mount those yourself. And there's the optional plexiglass cover and hardware to go with it there if you want that. That's a good idea, too, and that could have, well, I was going to say that could have saved me a lot of money when I used the rig for a crowbar, that old Alenco, but Alenco replaced the rig, so I was lucky on that, just out shipping cost. But
I really like the acrylic cover, protective covers. Really like to see that. And that's a great idea for something like if you're into emergency communications. I'm forgetting the acronym now, but
MCOM?
I was thinking of ARIES.
ARIES, okay.
But either one of those, you never know what you're going to be plugging into. So
exactly.
That's probably... And you don't always know if there's a crowbar circuit built into the radio. I found out when I was still a teen, it wasn't exactly a crowbar, but it was they had a reverse polarity protection diode in the radio, but I still smoked the diode. Of course, the diode shows up as a short, so I had to send it into radio. It was a scanner. I had to send it into Radio Shack repair. Before I really knew anything about electronics, I had to pay somebody else to fix it.
That's my view of of Huntsville Hamfest this year. There was way more stuff here than there was time to cover, and I wanted to do some things that I felt would be interesting and that I didn't know about. I wanted to know a little more about and people I wanted to meet and talk with. So that's what we got.
That was interesting. Thanks for getting the video from there.
Oh, and thanks
for that. I got to make it to Huntsville one of these days.
You do.
I keep saying that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm the only one around in the group here that has never been to Huntsville. And I'm even including most of the people in the chat room. They've been to Huntsville, and I haven't.
So has Cousin Jerry ever been to Huntsville?
No, actually, right after COVID, when they opened Huntsville up again, we were kind of spitballing and seeing if we could make it work to get down there, but it just didn't happen. But yeah, he's never been there either. So maybe one of these days.
Yeah.
So we'll meet you there next year.
Sounds like a road trip, doesn't it, Tommy?
Yeah.
How's Wayne, by the way?
Oh, Wayne.
Wayne was with you?
He was with me. Wayne's doing fine. I didn't actually, both days there at the Hamfest, we walked in to the Hamfest together. And he went one way, and I went the other, and we didn't really see each other for the pretty much the whole thing because there's just so much to see. And, you know, we both knew a lot of people there we wanted to visit with and all. So,
right.
I was going to get him to run some camera for me, but it just didn't work out that way. Everything got shot anyway, so no problems there. How are we going to wind up the summer here, guys? It's not that much time left. Now, I know at the end of next month, the fourth Tuesday, that is going to be September 24th, will be the next LogicNet. So the assignment for everyone, not just you two, is to come to the net on the 24th and tell us what you did on your summer vacation.
That sounds like a good challenge.
Mike, I don't even know. You were so swamped. Did you do anything for Field Day this year?
I missed Field Day. I haven't actually turned on or operated a radio probably since March, February.
Wow.
It's been that long.
I was asking y'all earlier what you did on your summer vacation. Did you even have one, Mike?
I had 1 week off. And that's because work had a system shutdown. So with the system shutdown, I would have been twiddling my thumbs anyway. So I thought I might as well take the week off.
Yeah.
And of course, the weather this year has been crazy for the weather, especially this month. You'll get rain and sun in the same day, and that'll go on for a few days. The weatherman makes predictions for what the weather is supposed to be like, and it's been wrong. So it makes it difficult to plan for anything, especially if it's outdoors. But like I said, this time of year is my busy time at work. So yeah, typically I'm looking forward to taking some time off, but that's not going to happen. Well, I'm not going to give it away yet.
Okay.
I'm actually off Labor Day week.
Is that next weekend?
Yes.
Yeah, it starts next weekend.
Not this coming weekend, but the following weekend is Labor Day.
And actually, the next Ham College is going to be next Friday. If yep. Dean Martin is in town.
I'll be here. I'll be here for that for sure.
Hey, I'm just wondering, because I've kind of been out of the picture lately. Is there a graduate commencement ceremonies for someone in particular?
Oh, like Nigel?
No, I was thinking of somebody a little bit more closer to home.
Oh, email? Yeah, we were going to do a virtual joint double secret ceremony for email and Nigel.
That was your commencement?
And it already happened. Neither one of them even knew about it.
Well, hence the double secret.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, perfect.
All right. Well, anything we need to mention before we get on out of here tonight? Tommy?
I had one news item. I don't know if it's handy there, George.
Did I miss that? Yes, I missed it.
Talk about it. It might be a little older news now, but anyway, for those folks that haven't heard, the Raspberry Pi Pico 2 is now out with the new RP2350 chip. Looks like it's the same price as the original one. Now, don't quote me on this. There is a rumor that to follow this shortly is going to be kind of a Wi-Fi version of that, like they did with the original Pico. So they'll have a Pico 2 with the Wi-Fi built in, and that's going to be kind of interesting when that one comes out.
Yeah, I think I'll hold off for that.
I think I will, too, because my Picos, I bought Pico Ws because I knew at that price I'd want the Wi-Fi in it because it's so cheap.
Well, yeah, because other than that, you're basically USB only. It doesn't even have an Ethernet.
Yeah.
So there's no real networking built in. In fact, I still have two of the original Picos.
Well,
they're still in those little sealed, what they come in, those little sealed plastic box type things.
Well, it does have the GPIO pins on it, Mike, so you could write your own network stack for it.
I could, but I'm lazy.
Oh, me too. Tommy, any final thoughts?
Not too much to allow. Again, appreciate you getting the footage from the Hamfest this time, all of us, since I wasn't able to go. And see you guys on the next Ham College next Friday night.
All right. Yeah, and I hate you missed it, too. And you did ask me to have some fun for you, and as you can see, I did.
I see you did. You held up your end of the bargain pretty well.
And I got a prize package over here from Tom for you. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. Appreciate that, Tom. I don't think I said it, but appreciate you sending that.
That is mighty handy because, I mean, just like that, you can hook up external audio or anything external you want to your Icon rig. So That's a nice idea, Tom.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
All right.
I wonder about the notches on the edges of the board, if they were purposely put in there for some reason.
I think it would probably be because that's where the post goes through. You know, put the screw for your top.
Yep, for the case.
Yep. But he did put the files out there if you want to print your own case, so...
Yeah, he mentioned he put the STL files up, on, I guess, on his website for a case for that.
I'll probably grab them and print.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like a segment to me, Tommy.
Could be one. Always looking for ideas.
Papa Email should be back with us next month. We'll see y'all then for the next Amateur Logic. The next Ham College will be this coming Friday, August the 30th, with Dean Martin and Professor Thomas. We're studying for the Technician Amateur Radio Exam. So tell your mom and them or anybody that doesn't have a license that you feel like they should. Here's a good way to study. And by the way, I saw several graduates while we were at Huntsville. We had a number of graduates there. From all the way from technician to extra. So it was.
Nice. Yeah, you know, we usually do. I don't know what it is about that Ham Fest, but every time I go to that Ham Fest, I have several people come up and say that they're Ham College graduates. Pretty awesome.
One day we're going to have to just carry around a cap and gown with us. Maybe we could use the lab coats as the gown. I'm not sure what for the cap yet, but...
Cranium cooler.
How about an inflatable version, a scaled-down version of Faber College? That's inflatable, and we can set that up and take the pictures in front of it.
Yeah.
We can put the cranium cooler on them and then the lab coat.
There you go.
Graduation photos. Hey,
That's a good idea, Tommy. Mike, can we
you know what?
Can we do something
that
with
just
this?
Gave me an idea. I'm going to have to modify the cranium cap so there's POV built in to the fan.
There you go.
Need to be able to change the message, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
To your own custom.
I bet you can do that. I'm going to have to see what chip they got. I doubt they got a socket in there, but I don't know.
Yeah, cool. If you can put your call sign on it.
Yeah.
The one I built used an AT Tiny. It was a little 8-pin DIP microcontroller, and it only used like 2 pins to program it.
Yeah. It wouldn't take much.
Didn't take much at all.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for being here with us, everyone. Appreciate you watching Amateur Logic. Once again, if you would click that share button down there. Share the word with everyone, all your friends. Click the like button as well. We would appreciate it. And I also did see someone there, Tommy, at least one person told me they watch on Roku.
Oh, yeah.
So your efforts are appreciated there on making that happen every month.
I'm pretty sure there's more than one person doing
I know there is. I've looked at the numbers. There's a lot more than one person that watch that way. But there's also folks, you know, that are downloading it at amateurlogic.tv, watching it on iTunes, archive.org.
Amazon Fire Stick.
And that's not even on the list here.
But it should be. I publish it every time on that one, too.
Yep. 7-3.
7-3, everybody. Good night.